Welcome, welcome, welcome. Do you know that this is next to the last Sunday? We will only be here one more Sunday, and then we will be gone. Praise the Lord. We won't be back here anymore after next Sunday. Next Sunday's the last Sunday. It's over. You know, we're moving into that new building. Praise the Lord. We only like about a third of the roof, and that's going to be on this week. You know, I mean, tomorrow, I mean, we're going to get on that thing in the morning, and we're going to put that roof on tomorrow. You know, we're going to have roof over that thing tomorrow. We're going to have it closed in. And then we're going to start putting doors and stuff like that in, and or we can really have it closed up. And then we're pressing on. You know, every day something new will be, you know. So who knows what area we'll start on next. But the main thing is to get it sealed up, closed in, you know, dried in. Or that if it rains, we still work on the inside. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I had to take off a few days this week and go off to Minnesota and teach the word up there. And I didn't know how tired I was until I got up there. I got up there and had a luncheon. And, of course, when I got there, we went to Princeton, Minnesota first. That's about an hour north of Minneapolis, Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We went about and drove about an hour north of there and had a luncheon, and I spoke at that luncheon. And there was a lady there by the name of Cindy. And she is the young lady that I already told y'all, there was a young lady that came up for prayer when I was there in June that had lung cancer. And she got to breathing so good after prayer, she said, "I know I'm healed." And so she goes back to the doctor to have a checkup and tells the doctor, "Doc, I'm healed. Jesus healed me." And yeah, sure you are. Yeah, sure. And so he takes her in and checks her and does some tests on her. And a little while he comes back out, he says, "Cindy, you are not healed." She said, "Oh, yes, I am." He said, "No, you're not. You didn't get healed. You have a brand new pair of lungs." So there she was. She was there, sat right on the front. And told us her testimony, praise the Lord. And then another gentleman sitting over here, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm Mark." And I said, "Okay, praise the Lord." He said, "I'm the guy that asked you to come out and pray for my dog, Sam." I said, "Oh, praise the Lord." I said, "How's the dog doing?" He said, "Sam's still running all over the place." He gave me a picture and everything. And then I said, "Was there anybody else here that went outside with me when I prayed for that dog with a broken leg?" And two or three or four people held their hands and said, I was here. I saw that. I thought, oh, Lord, what a God we serve, huh? Amen. He even loves the dogs. You know, he made them little critters. Well, I mean, Eldon, you love Boomer, don't you? Yeah, Eldon's got a little dog. First thing my wife looked for a while ago. Excuse me. When we come home, "Where's my dog?" She went to hollering for Angel, and Angel didn't come for a long time. She was back there, hid out in one of the rooms or something. Dave told her, said, "She won't even know who you are." But she did when she finally seen Mama. She come running. She was running all over the house, 90 miles an hour, you know. Well, we came in on the airplane, supposed to got here at 11:45, but got here at 11:15. And I thought the guy standing in the door was the captain or the first officer. And so I said, "What happened? Do we have a good tailwind? We got here 30 minutes early." He said, "I don't know." I thought, he must not be one of the pilots. I don't know who he was. If he don't, I'm sorry I was on that. If he was one of the pilots, I'm sorry I was on that airplane. Oh, goodness. I would have thought he would have known more than that. But anyway, I thought, we got lots of time. It's only 11:15, so by 11:45, we're out of the terminal. When we're supposed to arrive, we're out. We start over here. And we get about 2 miles this way, and I thought, oh, my goodness. You know, when you travel, you can't take nothing metal, right? So what do you do with your keys? You leave them at home. So guess what I've done with the key to the church? Left it at home. That's right. So we had to drive all the way out to the ministry center to get my key to the building so we could get in. I told him on the way back, Dave, and he come pick us up. I told him and Cheryl, I said, "Well, I only got one more Sunday to do this. One more Sunday. After that, we'll be out there, and I won't have to worry. If I leave the key at home, I won't be far to go get it. You know, I'll be at home, you know, so praise the Lord." So one more Sunday, but lots of hard work. I do really appreciate all the hard work all the men have done. But I know that you guys all know that you're not working for me. You're working for Jesus. And he's the one who's going to give you your rewards. And that's who we're all working for, is the King. And his benefit package is out of this world. You can't beat his benefit package. Is that right, Jack? Literally out of this world. But if we learn these principles, we get to enjoy those benefits here on this earth. And that's the good part. And so many people never get to learn those things. So anyway, while we were up there, I met this new pastor. We went over after we spoke at the conference or the luncheon. That afternoon after the lunch, we had to drive another 2 hours down to Northfield, Minnesota. I keep wanting to say Richfield. I don't know why that is, but Northfield, Minnesota, which is about an hour south of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I met this pastor down there. He's got a pretty nice church. And he was telling me, he said, we believe in praying for the sick. And we even have a teaching every Saturday afternoon, you know, to teach people about sickness and disease. But he says, we do see a few people get healed. But he said, we don't have no kind of results like you do. You know, no, don't even get close to what your ministry does. So he said, I thought I got to meet this guy and find out what he does because I want to walk there too. Well, hey, I think everybody ought to want to walk there, don't you? I ain't even happy where I am. I want to get them all healed. Don't you, Esther? You know, I want to get all of them healed. And so he invited us and he said, when we were up there, he said, you know, as I'm listening to your teachings, which I have been for the last several months before I invited you up here, he said, one of the things I picked up on, you almost always get people to repent of their sin. Then you pray for them. And he said, I noticed that. And he said, you know, here a while back, I'd prayed for a lot of people at our healing schools and hadn't seen anybody healed. And he said, there was a man come up and he had all kinds of problems and I just started to pray for him. And said, before I did, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I heard the Lord speak to me and say, ask him if he has unforgiveness. He said, I was just going to pray for him. Said, I'd pray for a lot of people that day and see nothing happen. So he said, do you have unforgiveness? And the guy said, well, yeah. He said, well, why don't we get that taken care of? The Lord, you know, the Lord says we're supposed to forgive. So why don't you forgive whoever you have this unforgiveness toward? And so he said, well, okay. So he had unforgiveness toward several people. And so he began to confess his sin and ask the Lord to forgive him for all this unforgiveness. And he said, now then, is that all of it? He said, yeah, that's everything. I've got it all taken care of now. He said, I reached over and touched him and prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And the guy was instantly healed. He said, wow. But you know what? You know, he's almost as dense as I am. I ain't going to say he's as dense as I am, but he almost, because he's just like I was. The first time the Lord told me that, I didn't know that I had to do that every time either. I thought it was a one-time deal. You know, I wasn't smart enough to pick up on it that if I'm going to pray for this woman and she's got a sin in her life and I need to get her to repent of her sins, the Lord said, ask her if she has sin in her life. Oh, okay. So I asked her and she said, yes. And we get it confessed and pray for her and she gets healed. Then I come back here and say, you need to be healed. Yeah. Well, now what did I just learn right there?
You got to forgive the sins.
You got to forgive the sin. No, but I never think about that. See, so I come and say, okay, you need to be healed. And I pray for him for 30 minutes. Nothing happens. Oh, God, what is this? You know, why did I pray for him and it didn't happen? You understand, right? Are some of y'all nearly as dense as I am? I hope y'all are not. It took me a long time to get it, but at least, praise God, once I did get it, hit me over the head with that several times. Finally, one day, after hit me enough times over the head, I finally got it that I need to get people to repent of their sins before I pray for them. And I'm going to tell you, when I learned that principle, now that wasn't the only principle I had to learn. Not only do I have to get people to repent of their sins, but then I got to stand on His Word, His promises. I just can't say, well, I believe God will do something. You know, I know He'll do something because He made a promise. In fact, there was a little boy, little bitty boy, come up last night after the service, about this tall. He looked at me and said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, son. He says, why do you always say, I guarantee? I said, well, son, what I've learned about God is he's a faith God.
Amen.
And he told me in his word I had to believe him with no doubt in my heart.
Amen.
And so if I can quote his promises and then say, I guarantee the king will do what he said, I said, that's my way of expressing that I believe with no doubt in my heart.
Amen.
And I said, he shows up for me.
Amen.
He said, well, I guess that's a good thing to do then. If God shows up for you, that's a good thing to do, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, you never know the impact you have on these little bitty guys. You know this? You really never know the impact that you have. But I'm telling you, I want to make a dent as I go through. Don't you, Deborah? I don't want to just go through and stir up no trouble. I want to be a troublemaker for Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. That's the best kind of troublemaker to be, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody got any testimonies today? Who's got a testimony? Okay, come on up here, Deborah. Praise the King. What the Lord done good for you lately, girl?
Well, I'm a little dense when it comes to cars.
Uh-oh.
And so I've been praying that, you know, or thanking God for keeping my car running really well. And the other day I started having lights come on. I'm going, oh, Lord, come on now. I told you. I'm praising you that you're keeping my car running well. So I keep, you know, saying thank you for keeping my car running well. And that light would go off and then it'd come back on. It'd go off and come back on. So I'm getting really irritated at this time. I'm going, okay, something's going on here. So I thought, well, fine, I'll go ahead and maybe there's something I need to take care of. So I made all these plans to take everything in. Well, again, and it was going to be a week later, so it wasn't any emergency. Well, the next night, another light comes on. And I'm going, okay, check your oil. Because the other one was an ABS traction light. It wasn't an emergency. It could be put off. So I was putting it off going, thank you, Lord. Well, when the oil light came on, I thought, okay, now this one I need to pay some attention to.
Amen.
So I said, Lord, just get me home. I'll get home. I'll take care in the morning. So there was a service station that I usually go to that has a mechanic. So I go around there. They changed hands. No mechanics. I would keep, fine. I'll pull up the hood myself. I'll do the oil thing myself. So I'm doing it, and I go to throw away the can, and I turn around. I'm looking at the back of my car. And I'm noticing that one of my tires, it's not flat, but it's noticeably low. And I start thinking, okay, ABS, traction control, spin monitor. I'm going, okay, Lord, I get it. So I back up, put air in my tire, no more lights. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I finally got it.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Oh, my goodness gracious. What's you girls in your cars?
I just want to praise the Lord about my mom. She woke up last Saturday, and her whole left side is numb. She's 83 years old, so she had a real hard time getting around. So we just prayed, you know, and she's on no medication whatsoever. And I am just so blessed by that. She's 83 and on no medication whatsoever.
Amen.
So we ended up taking her, well, we ended up, I didn't actually make the decision, but she ended up going to the hospital. Because she was kind of wondering what happened and what was going on. So they ran, you know, urine tests, blood tests, all that. They found nothing whatsoever wrong with her. And
Amen.
I am just praising God. It's just
that was after prayer, though.
Oh, yeah.
After
prayer. We'd already prayed. And then you know how some people go ahead and make that decision to go into the hospital. I wouldn't have if I'd have been there, but I wasn't there.
Amen. Praise it. But you're a woman of faith.
I am.
You're a woman of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? We got one back there. Oh, and you got one up here. Okay. Praise the Lord. We'll get Brother Dan, then we'll get you, Eldon. Praise the King. What's the Lord doing good in your life, brother?
Well, I was trying to unlock a storage building, and it had two of the most largest locks I've ever seen. The keys were stolen. This is for my daughter, who can ill afford it, to have it cut open. So I put a key in that fit in there, and I turned it Nothing. I tried everything I knew. I used to get them. I said, okay, Jesus, send an angel. I've repented of all my sins. It opened. And boy, was everybody surprised. Not only that, there was another lock there. And I said, one more angel. And it opened.
Amen.
I mean, on, and I tried to lock them, unlock them again after we had moved everything. I couldn't budge those locks.
How about that? And praise the King.
There was another one, but it escaped me. So
praise the Lord. Great, great, great. Praise the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Praise the King. Glory.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord for all of His holy angels has been helping us out there.
Amen.
The wind was blowing. We didn't fall off the roof. We did all that welding and all that. None of us really got hurt in any which way. And I'm just thankful that God's overseeing us and sending us a lot of angels to help us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Eldon has been out there a lot of the time, I will have to say. And he's really, a lot of guys have. You know, you guys have just been a blessing. We're going to get that building built. We're going to get in it. I will have to say that Wednesday morning, whenever we had two of those big 31-foot, 6-inch each bolted together, screwed together, just lap screws in them, and had them laying on the insulation, and taking the ones over the top of the building, you know, to put them on the other side, and the wind was getting pretty high. And we learned real quick that when the wind is blowing 15 miles an hour this way, that if you turn the sheet up like this to kind of help carry it, it goes right down and the insulation goes, wow, and it's gone. A 6-foot sheet of insulation, you know, 65 feet long, you know, and so that's kind of something. So we learned not to do that, so we learned to turn them this way, you know, so that when the wind's blowing this way, it'll go over the top. And the insulation just lay there, just still perfect. And we were able to get them down on there. We were doing pretty good. And we were on the other side getting those bolted down, and all of a sudden the wind changed. And it come around from the north, and when it did, those two sheets that were bolted together now, which are 6 foot wide and 31 feet long, they just stood up like this. You know, and when they come up, you know, I forget, well, I don't know who it was, Dave or who it was, somebody jumped up against them right quick and pushed them down and held them down. I said, hold them babies down till we get over and put some screws in them things to bolt them down. So after we got those 6 total sheets bolted down, I said, guys, I got to go to Minnesota here in a little while anyways. Why don't we stop, have a lunch break, and let's see what happened. Well, the wind never did quit blowing. So anyway, that's where we still are on the roof. But tomorrow, the wind's not going to be blowing. Father, in Jesus' name, no wind tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Please, Lord, thank you. And we're going to get out there in the morning, and before the night comes tomorrow night, we will have that roof on that building. You know, we're going to be in the dry. Now then, we are grateful for the building, and we are grateful for the resources that God has been giving us to pay for all the materials and everything. And everything that everybody's loaned us and helped us and tools and everything. We are grateful for everything. Now then, we're going to go back on our teaching on spiritual blessings. We started that last Sunday. What do we got? Oh, it's a little telephone? Where did you find it?
I found it out there in the hall.
Okay, here's a little bitty blue telephone. That's yours? Okay, here it is laying right here on the counter. So as long as somebody gets that, you don't lose it. If you have one of those, make sure it's turned off. But anyway, that one's laying up there. This is mine laying up here. I turned mine off too. So anyway, we had a great time at the teaching up in Minnesota. We got to see people that had already been healed along with Sam the dog. You know, that was something. You know, I was amazed. And then, of course, when we went on down to Northfield. Northfield. When we went down to Northfield, yeah, I don't know why I have trouble. I still want to say Ridgefield, but okay, Northfield. When we went down there, the pastor was amazed at the people, you know, that came. He said, wow, I look out here and there's a lot of people I don't recognize. He said, where are y'all from? And I think we had at least 6 or 8 different states represented, you know, there, besides Minnesota. And the couple that came the furthest, he come up in and told me when I got there, he comes and said, "Brother, I want to shake your hand." He said, "Your teaching has revolutionized mine and my wife's life." And he said, "We flew up here today for this week, for this conference, and we're from Phoenix, Arizona." And I thought, wow, praise the King. Obviously, the teaching had touched his heart, right? Changed his life forever. And then, of course, one of the men I got really tickled at, he didn't come for the first couple of days. And then he came up, and when we finished one afternoon, I think it was Saturday afternoon, he came up and shook my hand, and he said, "I want to tell you thank you." He said, "When you were here last time, I invited you to come to my house, you know, so I could take you out to dinner and to take you for a ride on my boat. But really, technically, what he wanted me to do was minister to his wife, you know, and that's what I wound up doing, ministering to his wife. And, of course, she had a problem. She didn't believe hardly nothing, you know, and when I walked in, I had to really walk on eggshells, you know, because she didn't believe very much. And so as we talked, she said, "Well, if you believe Jesus does things, why don't you pray for my hearing? I'm having a problem hearing." I said, "Won't do no good to pray for you." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You're living in sin." I said, "God ain't going to hear your prayer." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You're not submitting to your husband." "What?" I said, "You got to obey your husband." "What?" I said, "See, there ain't no use in me praying for you, girl. You are not going to get healed." And so she started listening. And we talked a little while. And after we talked a little while, and of course, I've confirmed everything I told her with the word.
Amen.
I didn't know those things. I said, "You know, it doesn't make any difference whether you know them or not. God holds you accountable. He holds you responsible for his word, whether you know it or not." And so, well, she said, "I guess you want to sell me some of your teachings." I said, "I sure do. But I said, I can't because I don't have a price tag on them. I give them away." She said, "You do what?" I said, "Yeah, I give them away." So I said, "You just go in the internet and order what you want, five or six of them, and then listen to them and see what you think." And I told her some I suggested for her to listen to. So she ordered them. And then, I don't know, two or three weeks later, we got a call from her. And she said, "I want one of everything you've got." I said, "Okay, ma'am." I said, "We'll send it to you." So she said, "Well, I'm going to send you a check to pay for them. How much are they?" I said, "Ma'am, I told you, they are free. I normally don't do this, but since I've met you personally and I know your need, I said, I'm going to send you the whole thing." So she sent us a letter. We got it in a few days. And in the letter, she sent a check for $1,000 to pay. So, hey, I mean, if I'd have sold them for a buck a piece, you know, I'd only got $200 out of that, you know. So, wow. You know, so she said, $1,000. So see, you just let God do his thing, right? You don't ever ask money from nobody for nothing. You just let God move on their heart, and he'll do great and wonderful things. And he has changed her. In fact, her husband came up at the intercession and told me, he said, "I wake up with Jesus and you. I go to bed with Jesus and you." Said, "I come home, Jesus and you are in my house with my wife." He said, "My wife's playing your CDs or DVDs 24/7. He said, "I'd never come." And he said, "I'm going to tell you something. Life in my house has been real good since I started listening to your teaching." He said, "I want to thank you. You've changed our life forever." Well, last night, I decided, since I had so many people talk to me about problems, you know, I mean, in between, you know, when we're teaching, oh, somebody's always got a need. They want to talk to you. Come to the hotel. You know, I mean, I had a pastor drive 3 hours with his lovely family of three, him and his wife and two children, two sons. I had them drive 3 hours to spend 2 hours with me between sessions that afternoon. I mean, you know, you got to be a glutton for punishment, you know, but their people are hungry. I mean, pastors are hungry to God, and they've just not taken the time to spend it with God, and God has not given them the revelation. And so they come, and we minister to people. So after I saw the need in the families, and then, of course, the other morning, I went down to breakfast table for a few minutes. I thought I'll go down there, and I didn't get to eat. I was attacked by, there was many people staying in the hotel, you know, many people staying in the hotel that were coming to the conference. Pastor, since you're down, I got a question. Okay. And almost every one of them revolved around their marriage, their relationship. And I could sense in every one of them, the problem was that strife between a man and a woman, because the woman would not yield to her husband. You know, she wants to wear the pants. She wants to do it her way. And they won't yield. And so when you do that, you got a battle going on in your home. You know, and so I thought last night, okay, Lord, it's time for me to teach. I'm teaching on love anyway last night. And I thought, okay, this would be a good place to teach on husbands and wives with a love talk. And so I did. I talked about that. And some of them were really amazed. When you get over to 1 Peter 3, I mean, first of all, you start in Ephesians 5:25. You know, you jump on the husbands first. You know, husbands, love your wives. And boy, them girls say, you hear what he just said? Husbands, love your wives. Did you hear what he said? Yeah. You look out there, I say, now, husbands, it says not only love your wives, it says love your wives like Christ loved the church. And amen. Some woman says, you hear that? You hear that? You get that? So you know there's a problem, right? You already know she wants him to hear. And then when you go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and you start down and you get down to the wives. Likewise, you wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands in all things. Like Sarah, which obeyed her husband Abraham, even calling her husband Lord. Whose daughters? You're my daughters, indeed, if you do likewise. Long as you do well. You know, and I said, now, ladies, when's the last time that you looked at your husband whenever he did something that you didn't like and you said, okay, honey, we'll do it your way. Now then, my Lord, can I fix you your favorite dinner for tonight? I said, which one of you ladies have done that lately? I had no takers on that. None. I said, okay, you girls are not the Lord's daughters, indeed. Because he said, you're to do that. Didn't he do that? So we had to read that two or three times. And some of them begin to sink down into, you know, kind of slowly. And I thought to myself, this would be a real good time to have them all stand up. I didn't do that, but I thought this would be a real good time to have them all come up and put their arm around their husband and say, I love you. I will submit to you because you are my Lord. Ooh, you know, I mean, but the Word says that.
Amen.
That's exactly what the Word says. But, you know, the thing about it is that you have to go back and hit them guys again with a 2x4 and say, now, guys, this doesn't give you a legal right to rule over your wife either. You know, he said you're to love her like Christ loved the church. Is that right? That must be pretty sweet to her, right, Ernest? You got to be pretty good to that girl if you love her like Christ loved the church and willing to give your life for her. So, anyway, we had a great time up there, and some of them really did get a hold of that. And, you know, when women do get a hold of the fact that God didn't make you to be the business manager in the home. You know, if you're married, now if you're not married, it's a whole different situation. You have to be your own business manager. But if you're a married woman, your husband is to be the business manager. You're just to help him. You're to help him do everything. You know, you're to love him. Just like the night Cheryl got all upset with me, you know, right after we got married. You know, we're two different people now coming together trying to learn to be one. We're a whole lot closer to that today than we were 3 years ago. You know, but, you know, whenever she got upset with me that night, which I've told y'all many times, you know, how she was screaming at me and fussing at me, and then she started fussing at God. God. Deborah, you know about that. You fussed at the king one time too, didn't you, girl? And he talked back to you, didn't he? I'll never forget that. Deborah was so mad at the Lord one night. Oh, she was reading him the riot act. She didn't realize he was listening, did you, Deborah? Big surprise when the king told her something. And woo, she said, I was down on my face repenting, Lord, I'm sorry. It kind of made a difference when the king talked back, didn't it, Deborah? God, you take care. But that's just like the night when Cheryl was fussing about me. And she said, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this man you gave me? See, she's putting all the blame on him. Hadn't changed a bit since the Garden of Eden, you know. Not a bit. You know, and the Lord just spoke to her just as clear and said, love him. Just love him. That's all you're supposed to do. Just love him.
Amen.
Ooh. Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, of course, she come out there crying. And honey, are you outside? Yes, honey. She said, are you coming in soon? I said, yes. And so I walked in and I saw her crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, will you forgive me? I said, well, of course. I said, what happened? She said, the Lord, I was fussing to the Lord about you. And asked him what I was supposed to do with this man he gave me. And he spoke to me and said, just love him. And I looked up and said, Lord, thank you. I sure didn't need that help tonight. Isn't it wonderful when God shows up?
Amen.
What he has to do once in a while to get his children's attention, right, Deborah? But he got your attention good too, didn't he, girl? She told me about that one time. I was so blessed that how, you know, I wonder if God wasn't merciful, you know what he would do to us? Oh, my lads. It would be awful, wouldn't it? We know we wouldn't be here, don't we, Tom? Yeah, you and me both. We both know we wouldn't be here. If the first time or even the 10th time we sinned and he took us out, we'd be gone. You know, so we're so grateful that his mercy is so great and it endures forever. And then just to give us an idea of what God has really done for us, once we become his children, he gives us something that is beyond our wildest dreams. And I'm still learning what it is. But when he said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we put that scripture back up on the board in the King James. In the King James, Paul, I can still see Paul screaming on the hills of Ephesus as he quotes this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you became a born-again Christian, God gave you everything he had in Christ, and it became legally yours. Now, most of us never learned that. Most of us read that and never have a clue what that means. That's just like Dan come up here a while ago. Technically speaking, when he asked the Lord to let that key unlock that lock, that was a spiritual blessing he could use the name of Jesus to get done. That was a spiritual blessing. I thought about what he said about that key, and I thought about one time whenever I was a regional engineer for a large corporation, and we had a truck, a brand new truck, that one of these high lift trucks that cost $70,000, $80,000 back in those days, was stolen. We lost it somehow. It was going to be transferred up here to the Dallas area for one of these operations to use here at DFW Airport. And that truck, somehow somebody stole it off of the parking lot. And we lost it. We didn't know where this $70,000 truck went. So we looked for it. We put out an all points bulletin. We had everybody looking for this $70,000 truck. And finally one day, the police called us and said, we believe we found your truck on a lot in Nashville, Tennessee. And so they took a picture of it, sent it to us. We said, that's it. That's it. They said, well, they've taken some parts off of it. And so, you know, but it's here. And so I thought, well, I'll go up there and look at it, since I was a regional engineer. So I jumped in my own personal car, and where I could take a pretty good sized toolbox with me, I thought I might be able to go up there and fix a few things and get this truck where we can get it running. And so I throwed a pretty good sized toolbox in my car, and I drove to Nashville. When I got up there, I did an inventory of the truck, saw what was missing, saw what I needed to drive it and everything. But the major thing, I mean, I was able to get nearly everything going, except the major thing that was missing was the ignition key. Now, the ignition key is one of those kind where that if you don't have all the special tools to pull the steering wheels and all that junk, you know, it's kind of hard to replace the ignition switch. So I thought, you know, I wonder if Ford might have, off of the VIN number, have the key code. And so I heard that they had this. But this truck now was a couple of years old. we had lost it and had been missing a couple of years. And so when I went down to Ford House and I asked the guy, I said, I have this VIN number, this truck. Can you cut me a key for this truck? And he looked it up and he said, that is the year just before we started doing this. So he said, no, I cannot. He said, if it had been a year later, I could. But he said, that one, I can't. And I said, well, do you have a new ignition switch? He looked in his parts book and he said, I've got one ignition switch. You know, and so every ignition switch comes with a different key. You know that, right? There's only, I mean, I forget how many, every 1,000 or something have the same key. I mean, they do key cars the same, but they don't for, I forget how many thousand there is in between the key codes. And he said, I got one ignition switch, one. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And so I said, I'll take it. Now, I do not have the equipment to change that cylinder out there. So I take that and I drive back down there and I start toward that truck. And I start toward it on the driver's side and I hold that key up in my hand and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask for anything and you will do it. I said, now, Father, I ask you to make this key fit that ignition switch where I get this truck back home. I walked up, opened that door, reached over that seat, stuck that key in there, and turned it, and it was exactly the right key.
All right.
I see, that is one of our spiritual blessings in the name of Jesus on this earth. Now, how many spiritual blessings did he bless us with? So what is our limitation as children of God? Nothing. Whatever your mind can imagine, whatever your heart can conceive, he can do immeasurably beyond that, right? But most of us don't even think like that. You've got to get outside the box. You know, you've got to get God outside the box. Most of my life as a Christian, I was raised up with my Jesus in a box about this big square. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You had yours in there too, didn't you? But he ain't in there no more. I don't even have any sides on my box no more. My box is a big box.
Amen.
I know that with Jesus, nothing is impossible. And the more I read and study the Scripture, the more I learn the spiritual blessings that belong to me. Now then, we went over several of those last week. And of course, the first one, which we talked about, which is the most important, so we just barely touched that again. The most important spiritual blessing that God gives us as human beings is the free gift of salvation. There's not anything any greater than that gift. And it's unfortunate such a tiny number of people ever get a hold of that. Almost nobody gets a hold of it. You know, yesterday morning I was down at the hotel and I never saw so many young people in my life. I mean, that hotel, they had a big bus out front and there was kids everywhere. And I walked up, and there's a pretty nice-looking set of ladies sitting there at the table. And I walk up, and I said, she said something to me first, and I was dressed like this. You know, she said, are you going to do a wedding or something? I said, no, I'm going to preach tonight. I said, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. I said, well, great, praise God. So we start talking about that, and then all of a sudden this guy walked in. I thought he was the guy coming to pick us up. I said, do you come to pick me up? He said, no, I'm her husband. I said, oh, okay, praise God. I said, where are y'all from? He said, Massachusetts. Or no, Connecticut. Some big college in Connecticut. And I said, what is this? Anyway, he said, this is a team of young people. You know, that he said, they come to race here today. And he said, every one of them that come here said, they're the elite group that had to be valedictorian of their class in high school to even qualify for this.
Wow.
Yeah. They have their high school class. Yeah, it was when they graduated from high school, to go to this college, they had to meet that criteria. So that eliminates a lot of people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right off the bat. And so I said, wow. I said, are you a Christian? He said, oh, yeah. I said, you go to church? Oh, yeah. And he said, the college, he immediately turned back to the college and had a purple shirt on. He said, at least you got the right colors on. And he turned, he said, Coach, look here, this guy, he's dressed up nice, but he's got the right colors on. I turned around, looked at this coach, and he was dressed in purple. And I said, praise God, do you know Jesus? He said, I've heard about him. He turned around and walked right on. He didn't want nothing to do with me. He was walking right straight toward me until I said, wow, do you know Jesus? He said, I've heard of him. He didn't know him. Then I started asking those young people, you know Jesus? Some of them said, no, I don't know him. Some of them said, yeah, I know him. It's amazing. You know, boy, I mean, there you'd be amazed in a hotel full of young people how quick you'd stir up a hornet's nest.
Amen.
You know, praise God. You know, it's lots of fun serving the King.
Yes, sir.
You know, but I know who I am in Christ.
Amen.
I know the spiritual blessings that He's given me. And I know that I have dominion and power over every devil of hell in that place. You know, that's just like the other night. Cheryl and I come in at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock from preaching. And I take her on upstairs and she's getting ready. I said, I'm going to run back down there and get us some tea, you know, so we can have a little tea because we just need to rest a few minutes before we go to bed. I said, let's just have a cup of tea and maybe I'll get us a package of candy or something down there out of that little machine. So I go down there to get us a cup of tea, and this real pretty young lady, little girl like Jenny, you know, just about her size and her beautiful little girl. She comes in there and she walks up there and she's standing there at the counter. Is anybody here? And I said, honey, the guy was there just a minute ago. I said he probably went out that back door to do something or who knows what he went out for. But I said, he'll be back in just a minute. And so she's standing there. She's standing. She's walking around and everything, waiting. And I get my tea fixed and I start to leave. And I said, could I ask you a question? Said, well, yeah. I said, are you a born-again Christian? She had a real low-cut dress on. And she said, yes, I am. I said, do you go to church? She said, yes, I do. And she turned and put her arms over the counter and put her bottle of drink between her breasts. Come under conviction immediately. All I did was ask her about Jesus. I thought, isn't that amazing? She's running around there with the cut hanging down, showing herself to everybody until I started talking to her about Jesus. And then all of a sudden she knew. She's supposed to cover herself up. Isn't that amazing? I began to talk to her and I said, you're a beautiful young lady. I said, whatever you do, if you really do know Jesus, keep yourself clean and pure for the King. You know. And she said, I know what you're talking about. I said, okay. Okay. You know, if we don't do things like that, the devil will do something else. You know. We need to be men and women of integrity. Everywhere we go, we need to be holy. Need to have clean, pure thoughts in our heart. And if you haven't taken these spiritual blessings and asked the Lord to go in and scrub your heart like David did, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I don't want no darkness in my heart. Do you? No, don't want no darkness in there. I only want these wonderful spiritual blessings in there. Well, we talked about healing last week. That's a spiritual blessing. That's yours. We talked about the strength of the Lord and all that. That was yours. And then we're going to go today to start off on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, and on through verse 16. Now then, let's use we're going to use it probably both. The King James. Start off with the King James. And then we'll go to the NLT. But 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31. And 1 Corinthians 1, 30, it's in the King James. It says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's all yours because of what Jesus did. In other words, wisdom. Is there any greater wisdom than God has?
No.
And that wisdom is available to you. It is a free gift. All you got to do is ask for it. It just like James chapter 1 says that in verse 5, any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives liberally without finding fault. But when you ask, you must ask with no doubt in your heart. And so he has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Now, he is our righteousness. So, if he is that righteous, what should be our goal? Should we walk? Should we desire to walk in the righteousness that he sees us as? Of course. That's where we should walk. And sanctification. That means he has set you apart to use you mightily for his kingdom. You know, he didn't set you apart to go out and do sin, did he? No. He set you out apart to do something great. And then he has redeemed us from every sin and every curse. He has set us free. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if God gives you all those wonderful things and you have this great and awesome wisdom and you use it for great things and you learn to be a son of God and you become the best at whatever you are. I don't care if you're a potty cleaner or you're a lawyer. It don't make no difference which end of the spectrum you're on. You ought to be the best there is in the business. You know it? I don't care what God's given you the gift to do. You know, if he's given you a job and it's washing dishes in a restaurant, wash them boogers good. Don't let a dirty spot be on one of them things. Wash them good. Because if that's the amount of wisdom and gift he's given you and you do a good job, you're going to get the same gift that guy that who knows what he might have been. He might have been the biggest TV evangelist preacher there was. And you think, ooh, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could have all that. But you know, when you get home someday, you might find out the little street sweeper, the little guy that was cleaning the potties, or the guy that was washing dishes, he might die before you do. And one day when you get home, you might find him living in a humongous mansion up there. And you say, wow, who was he? And he said, well, he was a member of your church. He washed dishes for a living. Oh, well, that's why I didn't ever know him. You know, because he just washed it. He was nothing. Wow, if he got a home like that, I was the pastor of this huge church. I was on national television every day. I wonder what I'm going to get. And then he takes you down on the South Back 40 and says, he says, who's that dinky little house? He says, that's yours. See, it may be like that someday when we get there. You know that? Because a lot of times we glory and, oh, look at me. I'm somebody. I can do all these things. I don't have time to deal with you. I'm a big evangelist preacher. You, I ain't got time to mess with you. Hey, if you get a back 40, you're going to be lucky. Because there ain't no love in that, is there, Ernest? Ain't no love in that. Your glory and your... And it says, therefore, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if you're able... I mean, if you're washing them dishes, somebody said, man, you're the best dishwasher I ever seen in my life. Said, I'm bringing glory and honor to my Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're the best preacher in town, and everybody knows it, and they're saying things to you. Wow, look at you. You're a great preacher. You say, I'm only great because of Jesus.
Amen.
I can only glory in him. I mean, he's given me these gifts. Let it be known that I don't want to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. You know, I can't take a breath without the King. I mean, I can't do nothing without Jesus, right? So I can't glory in nothing about me or you, can we? No. Only because Jesus has given us these gifts. He's chosen us. Now then, I'll tell you what. If we start taking a little bit of that credit ourselves, he'll take it away from you. You know, I remember Smith Wigglesworth, some of the statements he made when people started calling him so much in his later years, and they was wanting Smith to come, and they said, oh, you're the greatest healer we ever saw. He said, don't say that. He said, Jesus is the healer,
amen,
not me. Oh, but you do it. You do it. And he said, don't say that. And they said, why? He said, he'll kill me.
That's right.
And at 87, he did get to go home to be with Jesus. But there was too many people looking at Smith as a healer. He was a very powerful man with God. But how many people does God share his glory with? Zero. You know, so if you start taking a little bit of glory, saying I'm somebody or something, you better watch out. He's very merciful, but you fixing to get a whipping. You ain't going to like it. You know, you ain't going to like it. And somebody said, well, I'm his daughter. I'm his favorite daughter. He wouldn't do me like that. I got news for you. He will do you like that. It don't make no difference. In fact, Cheryl and I ministered to so many people that were having so much trouble this last few days. And it's amazing how many times we had to tell them whenever they had a problem. But my uncle, my dad, you might, whatever they did. You don't know what they did to me. Hey, it don't make no difference what they did to you. Forgive them.
Amen.
Turn them over to him who judges righteously.
Yes.
See, don't try to get even with them yourself. Because if you do, that's going to open a door for the devil to come in and kill you. And, of course, there's so many people in that church up there had no idea that God would send a demon to torment you. They just couldn't go there, some of them. What? God would send a demon to torment me? I said, well, I'm going to show you in the Word where he will. And then after you show it to them in the Word, they say, well, I sure I believe that, but that's what it says. Well, one little girl come up to me about this big. She said, Mr. Scrivener, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I want to ask you what you think about eternal security. I said, honey, you love serve Jesus, you have the most eternal security there is. You can't go wrong if you put Jesus first all your life. But she said, what if I backslide and get away from him and start doing things I'm not supposed to? And what if I die over there? I said, you might go to hell. She said, but you know, the Baptist church tells me once saved, always saved. I said, I know. I was one of those for a Baptist for 65 years. But I said, I don't believe that no more.
Amen.
There's too many scriptures that said you get away from God. You know, he said, if you remain faithful to the... Ooh. He says, Paul's talking to the Galatians. If you guys get into adultery and fornication and covetousness and drunkenness and all these things he lists all, he said, I'm going to tell you as I've told you before, he that lives like this shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And who's he talking to? Christians. It's scary, isn't it, Steve? Especially for one of those guys that believes in eternal security, that you can go anything and do anything you want to do. No, that does not form you to God. That's right. That ought to be a red flag. But you know, so many people are not willing to spend time with God. See, just like Dave tells me, he said, you know, I used to read the Bible a little once in a while, but I never heard this concept about sickness. Sin brings on sickness until I got healed myself. And when I started reading the Bible, he said, now I don't know where I was. He said, now then I can find it in any chapter, almost on any page of the Bible. And I said, well, the difference is you read it. You know, you read it. You know, I ask the question often, how many people, and in fact, let me ask that right now. How many people, hold up your hand if you've done this, have read the entire Old and New Testament completely through every word at least one time? Now, see there? Now, see, some have not. You know, some have not. You know, now, then, I guess I could put it this way. How many of you read the New Covenant at least 50 times? Hey, praise God. I have, too. There's parts of it I've read. I don't even know how many times. I really can't hold my hand up on that. I've read the New Testament so many times, and parts of it so... I've listened to 1st and 2nd Corinthians for 6 weeks at a time. You know, just over and over and over. I got in the truck, and I'm driving, and I'm listening to 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Or then the next week, I listen to Galatians and Ephesians over and over and over and over and over. I don't know how many times I've listened to the Bible. I don't know how many times I've read it. I have no idea. Some of it, many, many times. You know. But guess what happens? Every time I read it, listen to it, I hear something else that I thought,
amen.
Back that up. What did that say?
Amen.
How did I miss that? You ever done that?
Yes, sir.
Sure. You know, that revelation, when you get a revelation from God, from the Word, it's amazing what he does. Now let's go to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Start with verse 1 through verse 16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, this is the way every preacher should come to you. Now, some people have told me I needed to listen to some people that have told me I need to kind of do a little bit of sharpening up on my English. And maybe I do need to sharpen, because I do not have a PhD in English. And that's pretty obvious. But God honors my speech.
Amen.
Paul, although he was well educated, he said, "And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with an excellency of speech." In other words, I'm still one of those boys that says, you know, directly we're going to do this, you know, or yonder, or, you know, you all, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sorry. Just like Ernest, I think about those black boys up there the other day that helped me pour that slab. They called me Rev. You know, I never heard nobody call me Rev. You know, one of the guys, he said, "Now, you guys be careful what you say. This guy's a Rev." "What's that?" "Oh, I thought a reverend." That's what he's trying to say. And so I had never heard anybody call me Rev. And so we got there with this concrete, and I'm pouring this concrete and running this big boom. This thing's sliding, throwing me all over the place. And we get about a third of that slab poured. One of them stops. He says, "Rev, you going to preach Sunday?" I said, "Sure, I'm going to preach Sunday." He said, "After what you're doing here today, if you finish this job," he said, "every bone in your body will be so sore tomorrow, you won't be able to preach Sunday." I said, "Son, there won't be a bone sore in my body nowhere tomorrow."
Amen.
But see, that boy, he didn't know what I'd learned yet, had he?
What you knew.
He didn't learn. He had not learned the power of the Word of God and these spiritual promises. But these boys, we had a lot of fun with them boys, didn't we, Dave? We had a lot of fun with them. But he said, "But when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech." So a lot of people speak different ways. "Or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified."
Amen.
Now, if you know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if you know that and you understand what that did for you, you're on the right spiritual path. You're on the way. Many people don't know that. I thought to myself as we're sitting in the, maybe it was in the lobby, I don't know where it was, somewhere in the last few days traveling, we've seen a lot of television. You know, you sit down in a hotel in the lobby, television's everywhere. Some program, CNN or whatever, and I saw him come on and says, there's something about this guy that wrote the Da Vinci Code. Said 40 million copies of this book have been sold. And I thought, what a shame that Jesus Christ had fathered a child and 40 million lies have been sold. If the people that spent all the time they read, studying, reading the Da Vinci Code, but had spent it reading the Word of God, they would have known. You know, and people just tell me, "Here, I got a book for you to read." I said, "Don't bother giving me a book. I have the book. And I don't need any other books. I learn everything I learn from the book. So I don't really care about what you think about God." Now then, everybody's not there. I know that. And I've had a lot of people in my life ask me to write a book. And maybe someday we will. I don't know. But at this point, if you're willing to get in the book and study it, that's all the book you need.
Amen.
But spend more time in it than anything else. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Verse 3 and 4. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power."
Amen.
Wow. Now then, if every preacher could do what you guys do, you know, I'm looking at these guys back here now in this row right back. We got some new men that's coming to our church here now. And these guys right here, especially this one right here and this one right here, this young man right over here and this young man right here, they was in Korea together years ago during the Korean conflict. Oh, it was right after the Korean?
1981-82.
Okay, 1981 and 1982. Okay, they were over in Korea, and I told them, I said, when all the other guys are trying to run around to have sex with the Korean girls, these guys are in the stores telling those Korean girls about Jesus and laying hands
Amen.
On them and seeing them get sick.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He was telling me about a girl that come into one of the stores they was in and had an arm that was all deformed, that couldn't straighten it out or nothing like that. And they prayed for that girl. And after they prayed for that girl, that arm straightened out right in their presence. And then she started shaking or something with a hip or problem and had been in an accident or whatever. And this little Korean girl, her arm become normal, her hip become normal. And they prayed for her in the name of Jesus. They got that girl saved. And that guy that in the store that used to sew stuff, when they were in the store, he could see. He had run back in the back and sold like crazy while they was there. They didn't understand it. One day they asked him, said, "What is this?" And he said, "Well, I don't know what it is about you guys, but when you're in here, I can see. When you leave, I can't see." He had cataracts real bad. What is it that caused that? It was the anointing of God upon these two men.
That's right.
When God showed up, the devil left. And then they left there and went back there years later. And this little guy come running to them, remembered their name, said, "Let me take you for a walk." And he took them around the block and showed them 150 homes and families of everybody on the block. That girl got saved because she got healed.
Wow. Amen. Wow.
Isn't that awesome? Now, that's what I'm telling you. That's two young men back in those days that was about the king's business when it was over there in a foreign country. And that's what every young man should be about, is the king's business. You know, when you get to see God do those kind of things, them's the kind of men God's looking for.
Amen.
He's looking for men that believe Him, that'll walk holy in His presence. Because when that little Korean girl got healed, she told everybody on her block who did it for her, and she convicted them and convinced them by the Holy Spirit, and the whole block of over 150 sets of families and people got saved.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, she was a little girl. She had been blind and deaf also. Deaf mute.
Yeah.
And she had gotten healed that day.
Everything.
Amen.
She was blind and deaf.
No, she was a deaf mute.
Oh, she's just deaf.
Yeah,
deaf and couldn't speak.
Deaf and couldn't speak. Mm. And all that was healed.
All that was healed.
Ooh, isn't that awesome? Oh, I know. These two guys were some big TV evangelists. That's who they were. No, they were just two young men that went over there doing the Lord's work. That believed Jesus. Is that right?
That's right.
That's all it took. Men that believed Jesus. Now then, these are the spiritual blessings that God has given us. How many spiritual blessings did God give us when we got saved?
All of them.
See, they picked up on it. They learned about some of these things. They learned to lay hands on the sick and pray for them in faith in the name of Jesus. And they get to see God do great and wonderful things. God is looking for men and women that will believe Him. That's all He's looking for. Isn't that right? The King's looking for somebody He can be used. So, anyway, when Paul said, "I was with you in weakness," these two boys was there in weakness. But who went with them?
Jesus.
When Jesus goes with you, when the demonstration of the Spirit's power shows up, and a little blind Korean girl that can't talk, that can't hear, and has got a crippled arm and a crippled leg, and she's totally made whole right in the presence of everybody, and you tell them it was done in the name of Jesus, you can get people saved.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Ain't God good, Ernest?
Good.
Oh, God, it don't make no difference what you are. You can walk in and you can talk to them people that are Buddhists, they're Muslims, they're anything. But when you walk in with a demonstration of the power of the living God, I mean, they're not Muslims very long. They're not Buddhists very long. It will change them when you walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that's one of your spiritual gifts that's available to you if you'll just believe it. I mean, you know, Jack sitting right there across the aisle from you guys, you know, he's just learning these things and he's just starting to pray for people, and already he's beginning to see God do wonderful things in people's lives. Hey, I mean, does it take a lot to get to see Jesus do some little things? No, all you got to do is just obey Him. And do something in the name of Jesus. It's just so wonderful. Okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. Five, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, these people over there in Korea, their faith wasn't standing in man. some men from America come over there and told us about Jesus. No demonstration of the Spirit's power. Nothing's going on. Nobody got healed. No miracles happened. Them guys, okay, yeah, they believe like, yeah, they was pretty decent guys and all that stuff, and they wasn't trying to take the girls out and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, they might have been a little different, but what's the big deal? But when you walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, when the Holy Ghost shows up and people get healed, blind eyes get opened or deaf ears unstopped and all these things, that gets people's attention.
Amen.
You know it?
Yes,
praise the King. Glory. Boy, I'm telling you, that's just like these DVDs that we've made with all these testimonies. This gentleman up here on the front, he listened to Ray Martinez's testimony. He said from, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon till 10 o'clock last night, this gentleman had a stroke. Well, Ray Martinez had a stroke. Ray Martinez got healed. And that's why he's here today. He wants to get healed. And so he come to a place where Jesus shows up. Because, the thing about it is, if you go somewhere, even to church, and they don't teach you the consequences of sin. And most of them don't teach that. Although I tried my best to teach that to Ray Martinez, but Ray wouldn't listen. I tried to tell him what was going to happen. He wouldn't listen. But let me tell you, when he got the switch and he had a stroke, he's ready to listen.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing how it made a difference? And then Ray decided, hey, Thurman told me this is going to happen to me if I didn't straighten my act up. He's telling me what if I straighten my act up, what God will do. I'm going to believe him now. He straightened his act up, and he got healed. It took 6 or 8 months. Today, Ray Martinez is completely healed.
Amen.
But is he a good boy today?
Yes,
he is. He's a good boy.
Amen.
It's like me and you, Ernest. We know, don't we?
We're
going to walk holy before the King.
Sir.
I guarantee you. I ain't going to get off on no tangent.
Dave
either. Dave's over said, no, I ain't going with him either. I'm going to walk holy before God, walk in love. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princesses of the world that come to naught. Now, who are the princesses of this world? Satan and his host of demons. Next couple of verses. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Because look what it says. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who crucified the Lord of glory? Satan and his host of demons. How did he do it? Through people. Demons were in people. Physical people picked him up, put him on the cross, beat him, but it was demons in those men that did this to Jesus. They hated him.
Amen.
The battle was going on in the spirit realm, not in the physical realm. The battle was being fought in the spirit world. Jesus came to defeat the enemy.
Yes, sir.
He come to reclaim the earth.
Amen.
That he had given to man thousands of years ago, and man, in their stupidity, gave it to the spirit of this world, Satan. And he became the prince of the power of the air. Now the battle has to be fought to bring this thing back to the King. I mean, if you give it to man, he can't come down and take it away. In other words, Ernest, if I were to give you a new home, if I was a man of means, and I give you a new home and a beautiful one, and it was perfect, and you decided to just tear it up or burn it down, if I give it to you, what could I say about it? I couldn't say a thing. I give it to you, didn't I? Now, did I give it to you with strings attached? Okay, I'm going to give it to you, but you got to take care of it. You can't change this, can't repaint it. Oh, and that's a whole different deal. But if I just say, here it is, or here's the title, it's yours. You can do anything you want to with it. Now, you can either take care of it and live in it for a long time, or you can go out there and set the beast on fire. And that's what we did to the earth.
Amen.
We gave the earth away. God gave it to us free with no strings attached. And we come along and gave this thing to the devil. And we became his subjects. And he became the god of this world. And he became the prince of the power of the air of this world. And so the battle had to rage in the spiritual heavenlies to get this thing back. Well, Jesus won that battle. Because whenever, how did they do this? Whenever they killed him, did they have any legal claim to him?
No.
Had he sinned?
No,
not at all. Satan said, I'm going to make him sin. And he tried. I mean, when Jesus was there praying in the garden, the pressures of hell was upon him. What was coming out of his skin?
Blood.
Drops of blood. You know, have you ever been under such pressure when you sweated drops of water? Yeah, but I never been to the point yet where I sweated drops of blood. But boy, the demons were trying to get him to sin. He would not yield to them. Under no conditions would he yield. So Satan, I can see it now. He backed off after that and he said, okay, I can't make him sin. So he said, kill him anyway. Can't you just see Satan backing off and saying that? Go ahead and kill him. He's a man. I have legal claim to the earth, so just kill him. And so the princes of this world in the people begin to move on people's minds. And this man that did nothing but good, what has he done wrong? Kill him. Crucify him. I mean, but all he's done is good. Heal the sick. Kill him. Crucify him. Who's screaming out of the mouths of those people?
Demons.
That's right. The princesses of this world. Did they know what they was doing? No. They didn't have a clue. Right here, the mystery is talking about that right there. They had no idea what they were doing. If they had known that when they killed this innocent man, now that if you kill an innocent man on earth today, what have you just done to yourself? You go into prison. You may be killed yourself, right? You might have just forfeited your life. You don't have the right to kill an innocent man. I mean, I don't care how much you don't like me. You can't. Your freedom ends where my nose begins. You know, you can't go beyond that. If you do, you know, you've broken the law. Right, Ernest?
Yes, sir.
I mean, somebody said, I don't like this guy. I hate this guy. But I'm going to get him.
Oh,
if they lay a hand on you, they're in trouble, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you ain't done nothing wrong. No, you ain't done nothing wrong. I mean, they can't help you just because they don't like mine or your looks. But that's what these devils did. And they killed him. And when they killed him, then he had won the battle. Because if they had have known what they were doing, this wisdom, this knowledge was a hidden treasure that God had so hidden from the demons of hell. They had no idea what they were doing when they crucified the Son of Glory. If they had have known, they wouldn't have done it. Satan said, oh, no, I'm smarter than that. If God had said, okay, go ahead and kill him. If you kill him, you're going to be killing an innocent man. And then I'm going to have your hide. And the devil said, oh, I ain't going there. You know, I'm smarter than that. But he kept this well hidden. And since he kept it well hidden, when Satan did kill him, he had no claim to him. So he forfeited his right and his dominion over the earth to Jesus. And Jesus became, I have been given all power in heaven and in earth. Oh, is that good news? Our King now has all power in heaven and on earth. And he delegated that to you and me in his name. This is some of these spiritual blessings. Just like when these young men, they went over there in Korea and they used those spiritual blessings that rightfully belonged to them. And they took the name of their King. And they spoke, and the King healed that little Korean girl. I mean, that little Buddhist girl that the devil had claimed to her. They got her healed. They got her tongue loose. Got her ears unstopped. They got her arm fixed. Her side fixed. And they got that little girl totally healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And a little girl that couldn't hear or talk or hardly do anything is running up and down the street screaming about Jesus.
Amen.
Does that make your life worth living? That makes your life worth living, doesn't it? But see, God wants to do those kind of good things. But you can't find very many men like that. You can't find very many of them. They're not around. Now then, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, oh, you hear, I have heard some of our presidents quote this verse 9. I've heard pastors quote verse 9. I've heard pastors' wives quote verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
Wow.
One of the pastors I used to have, his wife, I heard her quote that I don't know how many times. One day I said, ma'am, you have any idea what that next verse says?
That's right.
No. I said, that's what I thought. I said, that tells me exactly where you live, in the flesh. You know, if you know that verse, I heard President Clinton quote that verse. But I guarantee he didn't know what the next verse said, because he don't walk in the Spirit of God. But there ain't many of our presidents that walk in the Spirit of God. I'm not sure we have one. Or I'm not sure we've had one for a long time that's walked there. But it says, but God has revealed these things unto us, His sons, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, do you want to know what God's doing? Become a son of God.
Amen.
Begin to seek Him out in His Word. And sure, I hasn't seen these spiritual blessings. Ear hadn't heard these spiritual blessings. But in your heart, your spirit man, God will reveal these mighty things to you so you can be used mightily for His kingdom. Now, what if you're not willing to walk in that obedience? He ain't going to reveal them to you. He's not going to let somebody that wants to walk in sin be able to go out and do great things in His name. That's just virtually, it's not going to happen. It could happen, but it ain't going to happen very much. As a rule, when people's doing things in the name of Jesus, He wants those people to be men and women of integrity. He don't want to find these boys that was over there in Korea that laid hands on a little girl and got her healed, and tomorrow they're trying to figure out how to take her to bed. You know what I mean? You know, when I went to Korea, most of the boys that went to me, that's the only thing they had on their mind. Let's go downtown, find one of these girls we can sleep with. Isn't that amazing? You know, you guys are over there with a bunch of them too, right? Bunch of them. Yeah. There's very few of us want to tell people about Jesus. There's a whole bunch of us want to live in some kind of sin.
Right.
You know, if they wasn't living in sin, they're trying to figure out a way to steal something over there. You know what I mean? I mean, it's amazing. Here we are, supposed to be a Christian nation, and we have a handful of us that come over there with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. The rest of us are going over there in the power of the devil. You know? And he's already over there anyway. You know, the Buddhists, I mean, the devil's already over there. You don't have to worry about him. He's there. But he's over here too. You know, so you don't have to worry about that either. But when he says, but when we think about, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Now, eyes cannot see these spiritual things that God gives. And ears can't hear these blessings that God's given to us. But if you're a man or a son of God, by His Spirit, He will reveal these mighty things to you. As you get in His Word and study it, He will reveal to you these wonderful things. And for those young men and women that want to do good things for God, if you'll spend time with Him in the Word, that's a secret. When you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. You know, it's so wonderful. You know, stand up here, honey. You know, she can be off over here working, doing all kinds of things, you know, not even thinking about me, you know. She can be busy looking out there, you know, amongst y'all, doing everything. I'm over here, and all of a sudden I think, you know, I just walk over here and say, honey, I sure do love you. And you know, whatever, she turns loose, stops, grabs me, hugs me, turns around and gives me a couple of kisses. When I draw near to her, what does she do to me, Tom? Oh, she draws close to me. See? Now, who had to take the initiative? See, she was busy, wasn't even thinking about me. You know, she's busy. She's working, doing things, putting things up, whatever. But when I drew near to her and told her I love her, hey, she stops everything and she draws near to me.
Amen.
Now then, is there any difference between us and God?
No.
When you put your arm around the King, when you get in the Word and draw near to Him, woo, the King draws near to you, doesn't He?
Yes, He does.
Ooh, and He'll reveal, and that's when this verse will come alive by His Spirit. He said, oh, my son, while you're over here, my daughter, while you're over here, I got some things I want to show you in the Word. Oh, and all of a sudden you think, wow, where did that come from, God? He said, that's just a little golden nugget I want to show you. Because you drew near to me. That's just like when he began to reveal himself. I spent 10 years studying the Word, drawing near to God whenever he spoke to me. And then he began to show me these little tiny things that what I have for you, I'm telling you what I know today, I did not learn in my 65 years in a Baptist church. I learned them studying this book.
Amen.
I got revelation from God. You know, if I hadn't have sucked that 10 years and all those other years to study and spend time with him, and still to this day, when I go in my office, I lock myself up in there, and sometimes for hours I'm reading or listening to the Word of God. And sometimes I'll just click on one of the chapters and I'll listen to it and I'll play it over and I'm reading it and I'll click on it and I'll play it over and I'll click on it and I'll play it over. And an hour later, I'm still reading and listening to the same chapter. Somebody said, boy, you must be slow. But thorough.
Yeah.
But the 11th time may be the one when he says, now it's time.
Amen.
I got a little nugget right here I want you to get. And I say, wow, what did I have my brain shut off? What did I have? How did I miss that? Have any of y'all ever done this? You know what I mean? You know? So you can't just get in there and read one time like a novel and get it, right? You know, I can take a novel. I can remember one time I read a book that I was going to give a book report on in an English class. And I read this book one time fast, but it was about cars. And I loved cars. I got up and gave a book report on that, and the teacher could not believe how deep I went in that book report. She said, how many times did you read that book? I said, only once. But my interest was there. And I picked up on all kinds of things. Now, the devil didn't care if I read that book. So he didn't care. You know, so my normal, natural abilities that God had given me turned on, and I could read and comprehend and then give a wonderful book report on this little book I read one time. But when I go to the Bible, it's a different world. First of all, God is not going to open it to me until I become diligent.
Amen.
You know, he's not going to just say, okay. And the devil, he loves it too, because he don't want me to get anything. So, you know, when I start to read the Bible, he starts me thinking about that car book I was reading, see. Or that airplane book or something, you know. But yeah, sure, he wants to throw me off. And so I read the book like this guy that's a computer science engineer. He's one of the best computer science engineers I have ever met. He's got a couple of PhDs and I don't know what all. And, I mean, this guy, he used to work for the company I work for. He's got, I don't know, he's been to all those schools up in the Washington area. And I think, really, this guy must know more about Microsoft than Microsoft does themselves. You know, anytime they have a problem they can't fix, they call him. He can fix it. He's the smartest man I ever seen in my life. And I told him one day, I said, why don't you read the Bible? He was a Baptist. I led his wife to Christ. He didn't even know enough about Jesus to lead his own wife to Jesus. I got to lead her to Jesus. And then I told him, I said, why don't you read the Bible? So I finally convinced him to read the New Testament, starting in Matthew. And I guess it was 6 or 8 or 10 months later, I asked him 8 or 10 times. I said, are you reading the Bible? Yep, we're reading it every night. Okay. Finally, when I said, are you reading the Bible? He said, we got through with it. I said, great. I said, what did you think about it? He said, it was a pretty nice book. I said, great. I said, what did you think about it? And I quoted some promise. He said, I read the Bible, and that's not in there. I said, oh, yeah, it is. It said, guaranteed. No, I read it. It's not in my Bible. I said, okay, turn open to whatever. Maybe like Matthew 18:19 or something. I quoted some fantastically good promise. And he said, no, if I'd have run into a promise that good, I would have remembered it. I said, well, open it up and see what it says. And he turned back over there and he said, my Lance, it says exactly what you say. He said, how did I miss that? I said, it's real easy. I said, how about John 14:13-14? I quoted those. He said, Thurman, wait a minute. Now, if something's that strong, he said, I'd have sure remembered that. I said, well, turn over. And after we went through about 3 or 4 of these, I said, his name was Rick. I said, Rick, you think maybe you ought to read it 2 or 3 more times? He said, when I told you I'd read it and I got it, I guess I didn't get it, did I? And I said, no. Now, see, this is the sharpest guy I know in computers. Got a couple of PhDs and everything else, but he's just like you and me when it comes to reading the Word of God. Until you spend time with God, God is not going to reveal that to you. When you get in the Word and start studying the Word and become an obedient child, what does the Scripture say? God, who's going to reveal this to you? Now, if God don't reveal it to you, you ain't going to get it. You can sit and talk to somebody about healing all day long, like yesterday. A little guy came to me and said, Mr. Scripture, I just love what you're teaching. And he said, I'm going to call my dad and tell him to get off of his medicine. I said, now, wait a minute, son. What's happened to your dad? He told me what some kind of serious illness his dad had. He said, you know, I believe if he'll quit this and take not go back to the doctor, he'll get well. I said, no, son, you've got just a little tiny bit of faith right now. But your daddy wasn't here. And he don't have no faith. I said, if you tell your daddy to get off his medicine, your daddy's going to die. I said, that's why God give us doctors, because most of us don't have faith. And I said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you tell your daddy to get off of medicine just because you heard me say, I myself won't never need another doctor. I ain't going to need one. And I ain't going to put no medication in my body. In fact, what started, the guy said, how about flu shots? It's time of the year for flu shots. Do you take flu shots? I said, absolutely not. And then I told him about all the viruses that the U.S. Army has made and is putting in all this. And then I thought about that night. I went home. We turned on CNN a minute at the hotel, and there was a couple of thousand people in New York that they're fixing to send to prison because they won't let the schools vaccinate their children. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your children don't belong to you anymore.
Right.
And these parents say, no, we're not going to let you vaccinate our children. You know why they want to vaccinate your children? Because this new virus the U.S. Army has come up with, they're putting this in almost everything. And you know what that virus does to you? It kills you. In fact, that new stealth virus that's called the Gulf War Syndrome. How many have heard of the Gulf War Syndrome? Do you know we now know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Cheryl and I heard a doctor tell us this on television, it was out at GLC, that virus is man-made by the U.S. Army, and they're injecting every soldier, man and woman, that goes to the Gulf War with that virus, and anywhere from 1 to 5 years, it kills them.
Wow.
Yeah, we are killing our own troops. And the hospitals right now, the VA hospitals, are full of people with the Gulf War Syndrome, and nobody until just recently knew what it was. And a man, that he was an analyst that worked for the U.S. Army, and his wife too, and their daughter went to the Gulf War, and she had it. When she come back, she had it. And with they having access to all these wonderful inventions, they're going to find out what's wrong with their daughter. They don't want her to die. And when that daddy finally found this virus and pulled it out, he said, there's never been anything seen like this in the medical history. So they went and started checking to see if it could be man-made. And they checked all the patents. And guess what? There was a patent on this little beast. And it belongs to the U.S. Army. Isn't that something? So the U.S. Army is putting this virus. You know what it's there for? Population control.
Amen.
They're killing us. If the church hasn't learned how to walk by faith, and then the other day I was telling a man that had a top secret clearance in the military for years. He's now out. I was sitting talking with him. I said, you know, I just learned about this. He said, well, I guess I'll tell you some other news that said you may not know. I said, what's that? He said, you ever heard where the AIDS virus comes from? I said, well, no. He said, it's man-made too. He said, the U.S. Army made it, too. He said, the AIDS virus was man-made. The U.S. Army made it. They have the patent on the AIDS virus. He said, that's where it come from. U.S. Army. That's something, isn't it? And what are we doing? Killing our own people. So why are we taking our people to court if they won't let you vaccinate their children? Because they can't control you.
That's right.
And if you give those children that virus and it's got a 1 to even up some cases as much as 10 years before it will, whatever they call it, mutate or whatever that is, you know, that causes it to start killing you. I forget what all those terms are, but it's going to eventually kill you. Now, they learned with her case, with massive doses of antibiotics, they could kill it. That was the only thing that would kill it. But massive doses of antibiotics will kill you too. And then you got to take something else to counteract that. But at least they were able to save their daughter's life. And she got it through a U.S. Army injection. Now then, is it time for the church to learn this? Let me quote you another spiritual promise. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 from right here. I want to go to Mark 16, verse 18, and I want to show you a promise that if you know this, you don't have to worry about that vaccination. Mark 16, 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That is a spiritual blessing that God gave every one of His children, that if you claim His promises, and I don't care what kind of a deadly poison you get in your body, I don't care if it's AIDS or anything else, I have claimed that for people, and I've seen people healed. What does it say deadly poison will do to you? If you claim that by faith. Yeah, I used that day years ago. One of them thousands and thousands of fire ants all swarmed all over my body and bit me at the same time. I mean, I was down in a hole. I dug a hole and I got down in that hole and I was literally covered with fire ants all over my arms, my neck, my face. And all of a sudden, somehow they put a signal out or whatever and every one of them stung at the same time. And I mean, I was on fire. I jumped up and I looked at myself and I was solid covered. Everywhere there was skin, I could see only fire ants. I jumped, jerked my right glove off. I throwed that hand up to heaven. I screamed, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim that mighty promise of Mark 16, 18. No deadly poison shall hurt me now in the name of Jesus."
Amen.
Bam, just like that, every ant on my body was gone.
Amen.
There was not a mark or a whip or nothing. I claim that by faith in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
now, is that the spiritual blessings that belong to us?
Yes,
that's one of them.
Amen.
That ain't all of them, but that's one of them.
Amen.
And if you happen to be one of those that gets injected, if you happen to be a soldier, you run into one of them fine young men that went over there to give his life for us, and he comes back and he's got that. If you can convince him, that'll work.
Amen.
It'll work.
Amen. Amen.
But you have to believe. That's what's wrong with us. We look at what our symptoms are. But Thurman, I'm dying. The doctors say they don't know what's wrong with me. Who cares what the doctor says? Believe what the doctor said, right?
Amen.
That's why I said, you give me a book to read, I ain't got time to read it. I need to read this
Amen.
Book. This book will set you free, right, brother?
Amen.
That book will set you free, praise God.
Good.
And I know of hospitals right now, VA hospitals that are full of young men that's dying with that virus that we injected into them over there before they went over there, men and women. And if they only knew that promise and could believe it, every one of them could be healed.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know, some of you are wondering why Ernest can be so bold like that and say that.
Yes, sir.
But this lovely wife sitting beside him for 15 years,
yes, sir.
She had a tumor in her stomach.
Yes, sir.
And she come up here, we found her sin, we prayed for her, and the next week it was gone.
Yes, sir.
She had had it for 15
Amen.
Years.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Just before that, we prayed for the granddaughter,
Amen.
Had a blessing, and God healed her too.
Right.
Man, he can agree with the word.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he done, yeah.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Praise. I mean, once you've seen God's word work, I mean, it's just like Dave Rosenfeld. When he passes out these miraculous CDs all the time, he said, "Would you like to have one of these?" Somebody looked at him, "Oh, miraculous television, miraculous healings." Dave said, "I'm on there." "Oh, you're on there? Ain't nothing wrong with you." He said, "That's right. Ain't nothing wrong with me now, but they used to be." And he said, "I'm one of those miracles." "Oh, so they take it. They're interested." In other words, it ain't just somebody passing out once in a while. They'll say, "Okay, I might like to have one. How much it costs?" He said, "It's free. We give them away." "Oh, okay, I'll take one." The other day, walked in the store and asked the guy, said, "You seen one of these?" He said, "Yeah, I've got three of them already." They said, "Well, I guess you don't need another." "Oh, yeah," he said, "I need that one too. I'm going to tell you, he wanted it. I don't know who he's going to give it to." But then what he had four, 3, and he wanted another one, right? 4. Now, see, we got a whole book full of spiritual blessings that, and spiritual things, gifts, that belong to you and me. The book is full of them. Everywhere you turn, they're there. And how many of them belong to you, Ernest?
All of them.
Oh, man, is that good news?
That's good news.
All these spiritual blessings belong to us.
Amen.
All we got to do is use them in faith, by faith, right?
That's right.
When we use them by faith. That's right. Just like Steve said, it is not automatic. Nothing works automatic. You have to turn them on. They're there and they're available to you, but you got to make them work in the name of Jesus. Now that you shall take up serpents, that's the devil. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
You know? I mean, we need to get into the habit of walking through places when you see somebody sick anywhere. I don't care where you are. Say, hey, I'm a man or a woman of God. The God I serve, He wants to heal you. Are you a Christian? Well, no. Good. He's not even counting your sins against you at this point. That's another spiritual blessing. Let me lay my hands on you. Let me get to you. Be healed in Jesus' name.
That's all right. That's
when you do that by faith, what happens?
That's good.
What happened to that little Korean girl? She got healed. But see, her sins, which probably were many, was not even being held against her. See, that's another wonderful thing that belongs to us. We have the plan of reconciliation.
Amen.
It's ours. It's another one of the spiritual gifts. And all we got to do is tell people, God's not holding your sins against you at this point. But He wants to heal you.
Amen.
I'm going to lay my hands on you and get you healed.
Amen.
You know? And I have taken the Word of God and prayed over people that was lost, didn't have any idea who Jesus is, and seen some of the most awesome miracles, just like you guys saw that little girl that was lost. I've seen that just like that. You know, God can use any of us.
Amen.
You know, any of us. He can use you. He is using you, isn't He, Lisa? Yes, He is. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, goodness gracious. Praise the Lord on these spiritual blessings. These things are absolutely wonderful. I wonder, is time a spiritual blessing? It's a confinement, isn't it, Tom? It's already 4:30. I just can't believe this. But you want to say something? Oh, sure. Okay, yeah. Oh, before we close in a word of prayer, Cheryl's going to tell y'all something. She's got something fixing to go on here. It's that time of year for this girl. Oh, is it that time of the year?
It is that time of the year. It's the 6th annual benefit for Christ Haven for Children. Well, I got a phone call Monday. Actually, the man woke me up, and he said, you know, I understand you're going to help us also at the Open Arms Women Battered Shelter and the Adopt-A-Family, which is after they get in, you have to live on the street or in a car to get into the Open Arms Battered Women's Shelter, okay? Women's Battered Shelter, however. And then once you get in that, you have to go through counseling. Your children have to go through counseling, you know, because everybody's been abused. And they get them a job, and then they move them into Adopt-A-Family, which puts them into housing. Well, Adopt-A-Family this year, last year we did everybody. But this year they don't want Christmas presents from us. They want furniture. So I've got a list that I'm getting together about like 18 bookcases and 16 dressers and things like that. So I got a list, and I've just got to top it all up. Then he said, would you also like to do community Christmas for 100 single mothers and 150 children? And he says, and they only want one gift. And I said, okay, I can do that. That's probably only about 10,000. I can do that. So we're doing that too. So now our list, I've got 46 kids at Christ Haven. They're the neglected, abused, abandoned children. And most of their parents are in the penal system. And then I have got 45 children and 25 women in the Open Arms Women's Battered Shelter. And then, like I say, adopt family. I don't even know how many families. It's just furniture. So last year our goal was 50,000, and we got 60,000. Thank you, Jesus. This year my goal is 80,000, and I'm expecting 100,000.
Amen. Praise the King.
Thank you, Lord. Because so after I got off the phone, this man, after committed to doing approximately 400 people, 250 kids, 125 women, and then whatever adoptive family is, so It's over 400. I said, okay, Lord, I'm taking my hands off of this. This is yours. This is not mine. Because I didn't call that in anyway. He made them call me. You know, that's just how you work. So I said, okay, it's yours. So you'll bring in whatever you'll bring in, and you'll get all the things together for me. So, you know, I need money. I need gifts. I need wrappers, gift wrappers, not song wrappers. And I also I need paper, tape, ribbons, bows, name tags, etc. Anything you got. In fact, a lady up in Minnesota, she said, somebody driving down or something. She had a whole huge box of Christmas wrapping, and she's going to ship it to me.
Amen.
I said, thank you. Thank you very much. But anyway, so we're going to need help soon for all of that. So y'all get ready, and, you know, I'll start shopping the week of Thanksgiving, and, you know, we'll go from there.
Last year we ran out of space in the Ministry Center to wrap all those thousands of presents, but this year we're going to have a big building to wrap presents in.
Praise God. Praise God.
No problem.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus. And actually last year the church gave almost half, I think the church itself here gave in gifts and, you know, money and all things, about $25,000 of that $60,000. So thank you to everybody here in the Living Savior Ministries. And that also include, you know, the people. I send out an email to all of the people that are our contact database. Then I want to say one more thing, not on that subject. The potluck, December 2nd, you know, our dedication service is also a communion, but it's also the potluck dinner, so you need to sign up as to what you're going to bring. I think there's only about six or eight names over there, so you need to sign up. Oh, yes, I was coming to that. Subash back there, raise your hand. Stand up. He's a new father. We were going to have...
Amen.
Narmala and Subash had... they were supposed to have their baby the end of December. That was what they told me. But the Joshua decided he needed to come sooner. So was it last Monday or Sunday? Last Sunday he had a 4-pound, 2-ounce little boy, 17 inches, am I correct? 18 inches? Oh, I'm close.
Praise the Lord.
This came from Dave Rosenfeld, so. I'm teasing. But anyway, he has a lovely son. Is he home yet? He's home now. They're all home. C-section. Are they going to be able to come December 2nd? You don't know? Maybe? Yes? Okay. So we are also having a baby shower, kind of past baby shower now, but we were having it for Joshua, but he surprised us. So there's a little flyer over here about where they're signed up at Babies R Us. There's a little number, and I assume you need, since he's little, now you're going to need some kind of like smaller, preemie kind of clothes, I guess. And so I know some people brought some things today, and then if you want to bring things early, it's okay, but we're still going to do the baby shower December the 2nd besides the potluck dinner and communion service.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, I'm sure.
Okay. Next week we will continue on with spiritual blessings. Next week will be the last Sunday that we will be here. And then the next Sunday, we will be in our first Sunday out in our new building with bare concrete floors and who knows what all. But we got to start somewhere. At least it'll have a roof on it. Praise the Lord. And we'll go from there. And every Sunday, I can assure you, you'll be able to see changes in your new church. There'll be different walls, new things, and people will be there. And, of course, we'll get the bathrooms up as soon as we can. But no sweat. If we don't get them up, we already have 3 really nice ones and a 4th one if we had to, and that's 2 more than we got here. So we already got those right there in the ministry center, so it ain't like when you go out there, you're not going to be able to find a bathroom. So we've got bathrooms, but we may or may not have them in 2 weeks in the sanctuary. But we will have them shortly. That'll be one of the first things we'll get up and running is the bathroom and the water system. So. Oh, okay, and I might ask, too, if they're, as we quit this afternoon, I'm going to be praying for people for a little while, but what I want to do, Eldon is here somewhere. Where did Eldon go? Eldon, there he is, back there. We're going to move all those chairs into his trailer and these 2 platforms here, and anything else we think we might do without, maybe the tape, cassette tape racks. We may only leave the CDs and the DVDs and take everything else. And if there is some of you strong men that want to help just move those few items, we'd like to move at least that many chairs that's over there in that stack, you know, and we got a little dolly and everything else. But if you could help us, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 of you, it wouldn't take a few minutes to load those in Eldon's trailer. He'll be in charge of making sure everything's put in there right. We're going to take them out to the minister center and put them in the building tonight, so that next Sunday when we leave here, we've got to take everything else. You know, when we leave next Sunday afternoon, every chair goes, you know, our projector goes, all of our cameras go, all of our CD racks, everything, all of our cables, we've got to take everything down, and everything has got to go next Sunday afternoon. So we're going to take as much as we can today. We're going to leave enough chairs to have at least 100 or 125. Here we have 250 chairs, so we're probably going to take half of them with us today, and both of these platforms. And then I think both of the cassette racks, and get them out of there, which is not going to take long. But if some of you are not in a hurry to leave and you want to help, Eldon's going to be in charge of that. Is that right, Eldon? Your trailer's right outside out there. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. We thank you and praise you for all the things you're doing. Lord, I thank you for all those people you healed up there in Minnesota. Amen. Lord, I'm so grateful for all of them, the ones that had their testimonies of what you did before and the ones that was instantly healed we saw yesterday. It was wonderful, Lord, and we thank you for healing them, and we thank you for meeting those needs. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you that you are the living God, and that, Lord, you're our God and our Lord. And thank you, Lord, for giving us this spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from your word, where we can do the things we do, because this is all about you, and we love you and praise you and thank you, and we're grateful to be your sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.